Yeah.
Of course it's going to pick up the cat feeder.
Well, you can edit all that out, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I will edit the crap out of this. So.
Well, just remember that awkwardness can be part of the fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And,
all right. What's the intro?
All right. Well, I guess it's, yeah. Welcome to Shelf Reflections, the podcast where we discuss board games and the stories they tell, both on and off the table.
Nice! I like it!
for a first episode, I think that's a lot more than I was expecting to have. So.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah.
And so what game do we have here?
Well, today we've got Trogdor the Board Game.
Oh, should we introduce who we are?
And, you know, that's a good idea. That's a good first step for a first episode. So I am John. I am a 30-something odd dad and just avid about board games. I've got a large collection, and that's why I decided to start doing this, is to just be able to talk to them, get them to the table, and hopefully actually do something with them besides look at them on a shelf.
I'm Jen. I also like board games and just having fun and doing the thing, but I don't know as many board games as John, so... It will be fun for me to learn about these games along with the listener.
That's a lot of, I think what you and I decided to try and do is just, yeah. I get to talk about these games and you're going to ask me a whole bunch of questions that try to slip me up about them, right?
Yeah. And I'm not going to do any research about it. I'm just going to, so far, I mean, you've got everything set up already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I thought we might want to play beforehand, but we'll take care of that later.
Yeah, but, no, I'm ready to talk.
Yeah, so today is Trogdor the Board Game. Originally from Kickstarter, I forgot how many years ago, I picked this up because I absolutely adore this character. The character came from the Homestar Runner cartoon series on the same named website from 2000, I think, is when it started. And so I was just fresh into high school when that stuff started taking off. And
I'm not talking about my age or where I was in time.
I know I'm old, so I'm just accepting that. But
I'm going to keep people guessing for a little while.
That'll work.
Yeah,
that'll work. I'll try not to slip anything out there. But yeah. So from those cartoon series about the Homestar Runner, there's a side character named Strong Bad who went on to have his own email answering cartoon series.
And okay, one of the... I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, yeah, Strong Bad's been a little bit more in the limelight than Homestar has. And, like, he even had his own point-and-click adventure game series and a couple other things. But from those Strong Bad emails, as they were called, there was an episode called Dragon, where he taught the viewers how to draw a dragon. And the dragon he drew was the titular Trogdor.
And this is the one with the strong arm off the back?
Yep. Yeah, if you look up the Trogdor Strong Bad email, you'll find the cartoon where he draws, like, two S's, a big beefy arm, consummate V's for the scales, which...
Yeah,
One of the big things is that Strong Bad's always, like, coming up with ways to describe things.
Oh, there's another meeple here that looks like a drawing on line paper.
Yep, the set that I've got has special meeples that, yeah, there's the line paper drawing one. There's a few other ones that were drawn by other characters in the show.
Toaster's Choice. Dagron.
That is an inside joke for the cartoon. Yeah. So yeah, the game came from the Kickstarter edition I got. It came with the meeples that are necessary to play. It came with an extra set of meeples for all the cartoon characters that are not necessary but are just fun. And then it came with 3D plastic figures. From what I looked at just today, you can actually still buy the game on their website, and it just comes with the figures now. They don't do the meeples. So at the time of the Kickstarter, the meeples were the basic and the figures were the upgrade, but it seems like they just went with the figures going forward. So
I rather like the meeples. I mean, of course, the figures are pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's just something really cute and fun about manipulating, like, little wooden meeples and stuff
that,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. But, I mean, of course, the figures are more detailed and...
I'm a figure buff. Like, games that have optional figures, I'm always putting those in.
They're just so cute. Mm-hmm. Like, these meeples, they're really, really cute.
Yeah, they're well made. They're not just to describe them for anyone listening. They are shaped like the basic shape of the Homestar Runner characters, but then they're screen printed with more of the details, like their faces and their outfits and such like that. So they're not just chunks of wood that are vaguely shaped.
Oh yeah, I mean they're well done.
Yeah,
and you've got like little huts and this little flame thing. Where do you put that?
The flame helmet that actually goes on top of any of the peasants.
Ah.
Yeah, so officially...
Oh, so the peasants can be on fire.
Oh, everything can be on fire. Yes, that is the big... Actually, that's the goal of the game, actually.
It's to set everything on fire. Yeah, because I was glancing at the directions, and I see the word burninate.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
And then I saw where it talked about peasants, so...
Yep.
Oh, well, I guess you're the dragon. You play the dragon?
Yep, well... Technically, you're playing as a keeper of Trogdor, and it's a co-op game where everybody is guiding him through the countryside. So,
cute. So with the little flame thing, they kind of look like Super Saiyans.
I did not notice that before.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. They're like powering up. We'll see how many episodes it takes for them to power up.
I'll have to remember to include a picture on that for notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, the general gist of the game is everybody takes turns controlling Trogdor and choosing his actions as he lights the countryside on fire. The countryside is represented by cardboard tiles that on one side look nice and serene, and on the other side are completely destroyed by fire. And then there's also three thatch roof cottages, which is their official name. And if you, with the figures at least, if you flip the top of them, they have little flame... So that come out so they can be on fire that way. With the meeple versions, it's just one side is the regular cottage, the other side is just a flame. And then of course the peasants.
That's a really nice detail.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole like changing things up to show instead of additional pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like the roof of the cottage. If you flip it over, there's a little 3D flame underneath it, so you just have the one piece. You're not putting anything else onto the cottage. And then if it gets repaired, you just flip it back, and the flame hides nicely inside the walls of the cottage itself.
I think that's well done.
So
I like when you can do more with the pieces you have.
Mm-hmm.
Well thought out. So it looks like a turn summary. Draw an action card, play an action card, use your AP.
Yep, so...
Draw movement cards, spawn the peasants, move the peasants, move the knights, move the archer. End your turn.
Okay. Yeah, so it's actually fairly simple and straightforward to play. Like with the...
I'm just giving this super quick version.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the start of your turn, you'll have one action card that you've been holding on to, and then you'll draw a new one. You'll choose between the two of them, however many action points are on that card or how many actions you can take that turn. And then, of course, the card itself will also show you, like, an extra thing that you can do. Like, in the case of this card I'm looking at here, slant-wise, it says, once during Trogdor's actions, he may burninate a diagonally adjacent tile for free. So you can do that, and then use 5 action points to move, hide, burn,
chomp,
which
burrow, or burninate.
Yep. So... To go through each of those, just to explain, the movement's fairly straightforward. You move in a orthogonal direction, so north, south, east, or west. There is a deck of cards here that has a compass on the back, so you can keep track of which way is up. And we'll get to those in a little more detail later. But then, if you burninate something, you spend an action point, and for the case of the tiles, you flip them over to show that you've burned them.
Can they be unburnt?
They can be unburnt. Once the countryside itself gets its turn, the peasants can repair burned tiles, the knights can repair burned cottages.
Okay.
And then cottages can only be burned if the tile that they're on, as well as every tile around them, is burned first. The only other special condition is the lake tile has to have every orthogonal tile around it burned first. So you can increase difficulty by putting the lake in the middle of the board, where you have to get more tiles burned, or you can... do an easy setup like what I've done for our discussion here, and it's just over in the corner, so only two tiles really need to be burned for it. Then there's tunnel tiles that if you spend an action point there, you can just jump to the other one.
Okay, cool.
If you're on a mountain, you can use the hide action, which is just laying Trogdor down, and then during the countryside's turn, he won't take any damage. Chomping is self-explanatory. If you're on the same tile as a peasant and you chomp, you put them on what is known as the Trog meter to keep track of Trogdor's health. So you basically just eat for food, for health.
Gotcha.
You can only eat the peasants, though.
Can't eat the knights.
Can't eat the knights.
They are too crunchy.
Yep. And then other board elements. Some action cards will actually reference things like tree stumps or rocks or such, so the artwork there will denote what you can do with those. And then there's the archers who, whenever they move, when they finish their movement, they will shoot an arrow off into both directions they're facing, and they face based on the last movement they took. So if they move north and south, they'll face north and south and fire that way.
Okay.
If they move west or east, they'll face sideways that way. So something to keep in mind with them. They can be a bit of a wild card when it comes to avoiding damage. Besides that, there's actually special rules for peasants catching on fire, which is the reason for the flame helmet, both in plastic figure and meeple form in this set. If a peasant is ever on the same space as a cottage that's on fire, the peasant catches fire, you flip one of the movement cards to determine the path that they take.
And they just run around.
They run around following that path, burning everything in its path, and it can actually be chained together with other peasants.
So they just lose their minds.
Yep. The only caveat is that when they are done burning, they go to a place known as the Void, which means that the peasant can no longer be spawned to the board or eaten or used in the game, period. So peasants that die and go to the Void are ultimately a bad thing, because that means that there's less health out there for Trogdor. And ultimately, the goal of the game is to burn all the tiles, burn all three cottages, and eat all the peasants, and that's how you win.
All right, well, let's eat some peasants and burn some stuff.
All right. Well, to start it off then, there are Keepers of Trogdor over there. You can take a look at those. Those will be your turn-specific ability, so while the power is always active, it's only usable on your turn. Like, if you have someone that says Trogdor can move diagonally, I can't do that just because you have that.
So it looks like we have Hardy Barty. You have no special powers. Absolutely none. But he makes up for his uselessness with cool costumes, pyrotechnics, and a deep overlordy voice. Okay, okay.
There's a lot of inside jokes and silliness with this.
Got war checks, knights cannot repair, cottages during your turn. Stonklar. On your turn, Trogdor has wraparound movement.
And what that means is that if you come to the edge of the tiles, normally you wouldn't be able to move over to where there's no tile, but with wraparound movement, you would jump to the tile on the opposite side of the board.
Helgitha?
I think that's it, yeah.
On your turn, Trogdor may also use the hide action on any unburninated forest tile. Cranjeg? On your turn, Trogdor may move diagonally. Brovelade? Peasants cannot repair burninated tiles during your turn. Krangalev, on your turn, gain one action point. If I'm saying any of these wrong...
I don't know if you're saying any of them right, but I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I'm saying any of them right or wrong, you know what? Mind your business.
It's just fun.
Yubbets. You may trade action cards with other players, either on your turn or theirs. And Galabudge. You may treat mountain tiles as if they were also tunnels.
Yeah, lots of inside jokes, lots of silliness.
I picked Cranjeg because he's a 40th generation keeper of Trogdor. Feels the pressure, he'd rather pursue his dream of homebrewing artisanal old man rub. Or artisanal?
Artisanal old man rub, yeah.
You pick one?
Let's see. I think that's actually... Is that the one I usually use?
He gets Maybe. To move diagonally.
Yeah, that's the one I like to use usually, but...
Aha!
That's okay. You're the guest here. Let's see. I am going to go with Brovelade, where peasants cannot repair burninated tiles on my turn, because that, I feel, is going to be a big deal. And then every keeper of Trogdor gets items of Trogdor. You get to pick one of those. And those can be used on your turn, but they are expended when you do so. But there are recharge conditions.
Okay.
You can only use an item once during your turn, but it can be recharged twice. So, like, if it's spent at the start of your turn, you can recharge it, use it, and then meet the condition to recharge it again.
Okay, so it's ready for your next one.
Yeah.
So we've got two gross beans, Shield of Cumberdale, Distracto's Pouch, Disc of Healing, which is a floppy disk.
I love that.
Looks like ancient technology, like the way it's drawn.
Absolutely love that and hate it at the same time.
Oh, right, right. I don't know what floppy disks are, just putting that out there.
Don't lie.
A super trinket, Baubles of Ashtray, that dog tennis ball thing, except with fireballs. Oh, okay, like the throwing thing.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, like those hook arm things.
Yeah. You flask of Dennis.
Some of these things are inside jokes from the cartoons.
Okay, I'm going to take this one because it says, for the rest of your turn, any burninated peasants that would go to the void are added to Trogdor's health instead. Since you said the void was not a good thing.
Yes, and then what's the recharge on that?
Visit the lake.
Okay, so yeah, as long as your movement touches the lake tile, that recharges. So then I think what I'm going to choose then will be... I think I'll just go with the Ring of VoIP, being able to teleport to any tile. Because sometimes putting him on a more advantageous starting tile can make or break the game.
Yeah.
And then we both get a starting action card.
Wrap around.
So yeah, some of the action cards also mirror the keeper powers. Of course, those can only be used if you play said card.
Right.
So like I've got Smell the Daisies. If Trogdor ends his turn on a flower tile, the next player gets 3 extra action points.
Oh. Cool.
So I can plan my movement to give you a better step ahead next time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's really just decide who goes first, and we take it from there. For the first couple turns, though, I'll handle the countryside AI movement.
Okay.
We'll go over that. But.
All right, well, you go first.
Okay, well then I will start by drawing a card. I drew Wingling. Before Trogdor's actions, he may jump to any tile, so that's like my Ring of VoIP. Both of my cards have 4 AP. I think I'm going to go ahead and try with... I'm going to go ahead and try with Smell the Daisies and play it. If I end my turn on a flower patch, you get 3 extra points next turn, and I've got 4 to spend. So I'm going to do... I'm just going to move east... Burn this. I'm very picky about the artwork being straight. And then move and then burn this flower field. So that's my 4 actions, and I'll end my turn there. So now you can draw a card, and whichever one you play, you can add 3 points to it.
Okay. So I've got Wraparound, which is 5 AP, and Tunnel Warp. Before Trogdor's actions, you may swap 1 tunnel tile with any tile that doesn't contain a cottage. Pieces on these tiles move with them, including Trogdor. So it's just like about moving things around.
Yeah, you can actually rearrange the board that way. Put the tunnel where you think it might be more advantageous. Right now there's really not too many strategies,
yeah,
though, since we just got started.
Maybe I'll do... Can I go one?
I actually just realized we did this wrong a little bit.
Oh.
Countryside was supposed to get a turn before it went to you. So,
okay, so we'll just pretend like I just didn't draw a card.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. So at the end of my turn, we draw from the movement deck, which is the deck that has the compass on the back. This shows us how many peasants need to be on the board.
So there's 3.
So that means it comes from Trogdor's health. If there is... I need to look at the book real quick, because I don't remember if... I can spawn them. Each unburdened cottage on a tile without a peasant can spawn one. Okay, so yeah, actually nobody comes out because the peasants haven't moved yet. Yeah, because there's no space. Okay. Then the movement on here shows east, so all peasants move east 1 space. And then the knights follow the movement path, and they wrap around. So,
because here.
So yeah, so it would be east, east, north, northwest, east, east, north, northwest, and that is a countryside turn. Oh, yep. Then the archers, east, east, north, northwest, and then at the end of the archer movement, arrows go both directions. And if Trogdor's ever in the path, he takes damage.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that's how it goes in between each and every one of our turns.
Okay, cool.
So, now you can draw your card again.
Let's see.
One thing I think is usually a good strategy is going after the cottage that has the most tiles around it first, because that's going to take the most work to do. That's how I've always played, at least. You're more than welcome to do something else.
And when you chomp, what can you chomp?
You can chomp peasants when you're on the same tile. And
just
then,
to eat them.
Yep, and
right.
Then they'll go up here to the trog meter.
Okay, so I'll move up here. So I'm going to have 7. Mm-hmm. Then I'll chomp.
Oh, which card are you playing?
Rapper. They're both 5, but I guess I'll do the tunnel warp. Do I swap it now or like after I'm done?
What's it say? Before Trogdor's actions.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're not wearing. I think I'm going to switch because I can move the tunnel for another one. So I'll just do this.
Just kind of put it in the middle of the board there.
Yeah. And so that's the ability. And then 1, 2. Burn an 8 for 3, and 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'm going to move down to the cottages so I'm not with the archer.
That's a good move right there.
Thanks. I'm pretty impressive.
So, all right. So now,
I mean, that was a good assist in getting like a bunch of extras.
Okay, so now we need to have at least 2 peasants on the board, which we already do. Mm-hmm. Then all peasants move north and will repair any tile that they hit that's burned, but thankfully our peasants don't, so that's fine. And then the knights,
west,
west, south, west, west, west. Trogdor met up with a knight, so he actually takes damage. And then he'll finish his movement. South and west. And then west, west. Oh, this is bad. South, west. Oh, actually, the archer landed on Trogdor, so they are firing away from him.
Okay.
Essentially, that counts as him standing in between them.
Nice.
So, but Trogdor took damage from a knight movement. As the first damage that he's taken in the game, we now shuffle the Troghammer cards into the deck. And this allows a third, more obnoxious knight to be part of the game.
Oh, the guy up there.
Yep. So he is a larger, cooler looking knight with a big old battle hammer. And the first time one of the Troghammer cards are drawn, he comes to the board in the center, and then every time a card is drawn, he moves with a new movement card. And then he also moves with the knights on the countryside turn, so he moves a lot. This game is not easy.
I would expect nothing less from a game that you have and enjoy.
Okay, so he's right now just a threat. He's not an active threat.
Hey there, listeners. John here. Just wanted to pop in while Jen and I finish the game in the background to let you know where you can still find Trogdor. You can go to homestarrunner.com/store and choose the first of the 3 options. That'll take you to the section where they have the game listed, along with its soon-to-be-discussed Expando deck. You can get the base game for $50, which includes the tiles, cards, and the figures, not the meeples, and you can also get the Expando deck for $20. Stay tuned for a neat little story about that. As a bit of a warning, Jen and I got our kids together to play in the background. They got a little wild towards the end, so This is a family podcast, and we're just going to deal with it as we can. Without further ado, let's return where we're wrapping up the game.
Okay, so Trogdor has lost all his health, and there's a special rule that's like, it's basically a last-ditch effort to win, is we draw 5 movement cards and resolve Trogdor based on those movements, burning everything in his path.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so to start with, we've got west, north, which all this stuff, like, it ignores knights and all that at this point because we're already dead. Okay.
One more north.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. So that's going well. So that takes care of all the peasants. Then we've got north. My brain just died. Okay, east. So that's a good sign. North. Okay. And then
west, south,
east. And east. Good.
South,
east. And then the last movement is
north, east, north,
and we got everything but 2 tiles. So we lost.
I don't know. I say we did pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that was a dragon life well spent.
I mean, I like how it's really easy to follow and just everything's controlled really well by the iconography on the cards. And
I do really enjoy games where you have a cooperative mode and there's a way to auto-generate, like, opponent's moves. So, I don't know if you played the Gargoyles game, like Gargoyles, the 90 cartoon. That does that. Do you?
Yeah.
So that's one that I have too.
All right. I'll have to play that one next, maybe.
Yeah. So that does that same mechanic. And then I forget what it's called. We played another one. And it's like a haunting at something or something like that. It has like ghosts or something in it. But
it wasn't Betrayal at House on the Hill,
yes,
was it?
Yeah. That's it.
I've got 2 versions of that.
So it's that one, and then also a lot of the Dungeons & Dragons games. Mm. Like, because you play a team, and then things, like, automatically happen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like replayability on those games are really high, so.
And this has that, definitely, because you can arrange the map tiles in any place that you want. There's some presets in here for suggested difficulty, but you can go nuts with it, really.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, it takes out some of, like, you know, if you're a really competitive player.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you and the people you're playing with, it may not be just a friendly game.
Yeah.
So it takes that out and gives you a, you know, an opponent that's outside of your own strategy and what you're thinking, because it, you know, it throws in some chance.
Yeah.
So, and pretty fun.
I mean, if you're a big fan of Homestar and Strong Bad, there's lots of in-jokes with the way things are written and way things are referenced.
Even if you're not, it's still really funny.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I definitely am glad we started with this, because I have a couple cool stories about it. When this was on Kickstarter, they released a print and play as kind of like a taste for everybody while they were waiting.
Oh, like a beta thing?
Yeah, and I reached out asking if I could use the print and play and make a tabletop simulator version.
Mm-hmm.
And in the time that I was waiting for my response, somebody else went and just did it. So I didn't get noticed in terms of popularity by being the first one to release it, but I did get proper permission and put it together later. And with that, it's basically digital versions of the meeples instead of 3D figures.
Okay.
But I put a lot of effort and detail into it to make it play as accurately as possible, to the point where the creators of Homestar Runner, the brothers Chap, as they go by, they actually used my version of the tabletop mod in a live stream where Strong Bad, the character, played the game with others.
We're getting a little noisy, guys.
It's a family podcast. I'll put a disclaimer in there that we have kids, you might hear them.
Yeah.
But
if you want a professional sound and all that, then pay us to do that.
get us a studio.
Yeah, otherwise you get what you get.
My basement is not a studio. But I just thought it was really neat that they actually used my tabletop mod in a live stream that Strongbad played with other characters in order to promote the game.
Nice.
And that live stream aired on my birthday. So that was really cool.
So just perfection all around.
It was awesome. And it was just really cool to see how much they, like, I didn't really get name dropped directly, but they did try to credit me as best they could.
Okay, I wish, like, there's, like, parts of the podcast that people could see.
Yeah.
Because if you could see the light in John's eyes as he talks about this, like, the excitement and the enthusiasm, it's great.
Mixed a little with the, oh my gosh, the kids are going crazy. Yeah. But we'll just count that as part of the charm of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But,
it's a little chaotic, but, I mean, I think any parent who's ever tried to play a board game and have kids around, which, I mean, has been most of my life.
Uh-huh.
My very short, brief life so far.
You're still playing that up. I'm going to say nothing. So, but another really cool thing is because of the quality of that mod and the fact that they used it in that live stream, they reached out to me to play test their expansion, which is the Expando deck, as they call it. So,
Magic's Emergency.
Yes.
So did they send this to you?
Yeah, I got the expansion for free after helping them playtest it. Like, I actually got to playtest it with them through Tabletop Simulator, chatting with them over Discord. And as somebody who's been watching their cartoons since high school, I was a bit starstruck. Like, I am playing the board game created by some of my favorite creators with said creators.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, you're a fangirl, aren't you?
That, absolutely. Absolutely. And the really There's funny thing is, that. Though, they put a special thanks in there on one of the cards that has, like, the credits for who they're thanking.
Uh-huh.
I'm improperly credited because my online name is Marcus Raven. They credited me as John Raven by accident.
Well, you know who you are.
I do know who I am.
And anybody who listens to this will know. They'll be like, you know what? I saw that. I was wondering who John Raven was. I looked him up and couldn't find him.
John Raven is the host of this podcast. That's just that's what we're going with. But, yeah, so, I mean, those are my cool stories about Trogdor. And
those are the kids acting crazy.
Those are the kids acting crazy. So that seems like a good time to wrap up.
Yeah. Do you have an idea what we're going to do next time, next week?
I don't, but I'll look at the shelf, because one thing I didn't mention in my introduction, I've got over 170 games now, and so we've got options.
I just tell everybody he's got, like, 200 games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's close enough. I mean, if you count expansions, it's over 200,
yeah.
So
I just hope if you got, like, 200.
I mean, there's stuff in there that's series, like the Disney Villainous stuff I've got a lot of, and Unmatched, and Dice Throne, so I mean, there's a lot of multiple boxes in the same series here, but yeah, it's a lot. My wife has been concerned about the quantity a couple of times.
I say as long as you have shelf space.
Yeah.
For shelf reflections.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
All right. Well, you know, since we brought it up, maybe we could look at that Gargoyles game, since we both have that one, and we can look at that for next time, and we'll just do that, but. Yeah, so this was the inaugural episode of Shelf Reflections, and we'll see what we're going to do from here, but I was happy to tell my stories, and we've got more stories ahead, so thank you for listening.
Bye!
Bye!
Thank you again for listening to Shelf Reflections. I've been your host, John, along with my co-host, Jen. The background music used was Spark of Inspiration by Shane Ivers. Licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. Promoted and obtained from Chozik.com. If you're interested in learning more about the tabletop simulator mods that may have been mentioned in this episode, you can find that at NevermoreStudiosTTS.com, my personal website. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next game.